by a Distant Sun, read by Pequeño.
Charlie, you're not my Charlie anymore. You're screwing it up. You're killing your soul with an audience looking on. If I hadn't left early last night, I would have made a speech to you. You're not the only one you're going to hurt. If you don't believe me, I don't believe in you. If you don't believe me, I don't believe in you. Makes it all feel better, does it? And makes you feel like heaven, does it? You loved it and you spent accordingly. You can't afford it now. You can't afford it now. You can't afford it now. You try and you fail, and love it like a little dog, and feed it on the scraps you find, and kiss it while you're still asleep. You buy now, pay later. So where's the problem, you can ask, if you keep your head up? But the road is long and you're falling asleep at the wheel. Is a girl going crazy about you and I'm not far behind? Can you care about your friends anymore?
Smile, May 2007. In his peripheral vision, where the world blurred into colors and associations, Tatsuya watched Jin. His friend nodded and smiled, but otherwise stood back, keeping to himself. Occasionally, Jin would turn his head from the woman throwing the dart to the man standing just behind her. In front of the NTV producers, he wouldn't do anything more. A year ago, Tatsuya would never have thought it possible. But somewhere in Los Angeles, amid the palm trees and the guns, Jin had learned when to keep his mouth shut. When they had been told their guests for this afternoon's taping was Mickey Maya, they had all seen Kame's eyes light up just a fraction. Only Tatsuya had caught the reacting flare in Jin's. And when Kame lost the game, the loser's dare was the usual ridiculous confession played out after 11 p.m., when all the children were either in bed or at their books, meant to embarrass. But years of subterfuge had forged the actor in Kame. Tatsuya had seen him pitch to any audience, and so had Jin. No one could quite tell anymore where the act stopped. Kazuya began. If it was a performance, it was a good one. The strut and spin, the fingers brushing against her cheek, the flimsiest pickup line imaginable carried the joke. They all laughed, because they were supposed to, and Kame collapsed in the embarrassed heap expected of him. When the director yelled, "Cut!" Tatsuya didn't miss Jin's laughter dying first. "You don't think it was too soon, do you?" Jin asked him backstage, as they swapped costume suits for a more casual garb. The dressing rooms were tiny at the NTV studios. They could only fit two people per room. More like reclaimed cupboards, Tatsuya thought to himself, peeling the white shirt off his shoulders, with about as much concern for their comfort. "I don't know, Juno. I'm not his nurse." He let the white shirt fall in a crumpled pile on the floor and fell back into his chair, boneless as a rag doll. "But you are worried about him." On the other side of the room, Juno sat on the counter, the expression on his face all concern. He held a pack of ice against the back of his knee, where Koki had kicked him. One day, one of them, probably Jin, was going to say the wrong thing at the wrong time, push a little too far, make another joke at his expense, and Juno was going to explode. They forgot he was 6 feet of gymnastically trained muscle. If he lost it, they would not be talking of rooms, but floors worth of damage. Tatsuya was determined it would never come to that. How's it holding up? Tatsuya gestured to the old knee injury. Twinging a bit. It'll be okay. That said, Juno shifted the pack of his kneecap. How about you? Since when had it mattered how he was? Tatsuya closed his eyes. Wake me up in 10 years, then ask. He had a chuckle and a rustling, then a suspiciously damp sweat towel landed over his face. Moments later, the door behind them opened. Hey, guys. Tatsuya rolled his eyes under the towel before removing it. Kame's nickname suited him well. Like a turtle, he hesitantly peeked around the door, ready to dive back into his shell at the slightest indecent provocation. For all the things he and Jin had once done only a wall away from everyone else, Kame remained inexplicably coy. We've got about 10-15 minutes before they want us on set, Kame muttered. As a rule, their assistant manager would knock on their doors at 5 minutes to time. Kame cast his eyes down for an instant before fixing them on Tatsuya's back. In the mirrors, Tatsuya watched him as he watched everyone. He didn't like what he saw. What's wrong? The first thing that struck Tatsuya when he opened the door was the stench. The second was a desperate craving for the cigarettes he hadn't touched in 2 years. You said you'd quit. He spoke into the gray trails of smoke. Jin didn't look up from where he stood in front of the mirrors, just exhaled and crushed the half-smoked butt into the ashtray before him. You know, in America they'll arrest you for smoking inside, Jin said, ostensibly checking his hair. He was halfway through getting changed, casual from the waist down in ripped jeans and a flannel shirt around his hips, the white dress shirt unbuttoned and hanging from his shoulders. No, they won't. Tatsuya closed the door and leaned back against it. I wasn't game enough to try. Seriously, even in my apartment I'd go out on the balcony. Unconsciously, Jin reached to pull another cigarette from the packet, then stopped himself. Here, no one cares. For a few moments, he tapped the pack of Marlboros back and forth across the dressing room counter. Then he turned. Is it time? Yes, for you. There were only 3 steps separating them. Jin's bag was on the chair. Tatsuya had grabbed it by the sides and upended over the counter. The fuck are you doing? Jin tried to pull him away. The weakness of his grip told Tatsuya all he needed to know. What am I doing? I'm looking after you since you refuse to do it yourself. From the pile of clothes, shoes, sweat towels, broken phone charms, and old receipts, Tatsuya fished out an inconspicuous green case. He spent more time looking out for Jin now than he ever had in his brief stint as leader. Kame had never let him forget that particular piece of misplaced magnanimity. Is it all in here? One flick of his head was the only response Jin gave. At least you remembered to bring it this time. Tatsuya expected some loud form of protest, or at the very least a fuck you. Jin was prickly about his intelligence, but the man beside him said nothing. Just kept staring at his hands pressed against the counter. The miniature light bulbs cast a slightly yellow tinge over his face. Tatsuya opened the green case, found the lancet, rubbing alcohol swabs in a small round meter. Jin? Jin glanced at him. He was blinking a little more than usual. Which hand? With a sigh, visible if not audible, Jin offered his left hand palm up. It was shaking. It still hasn't gotten any better? Tatsuya asked, trying to keep Jin's mind on forming sentences rather than mental scenarios. No, said through gritted teeth. This had to be done quickly. I forget. Who are we chatting up next? Carefully, he swabbed Jin's middle finger, then uncapped the lancet. The hell are you asking me for? I don't know what day it is. The weakest attempt at a smile. Jin's circus act had frayed at the edges and the time had been away. In these moments, Tatsuya could almost see the threads unraveling. What day is it today? He asked in accented English. Monday. Jin answered without hesitation, then hissed briefly as the needle pricked his finger. In times gone, he'd have turned the pain into a performance, accused his bandmates of enacting the sadistic fantasies on his poor hands, milked it for as many smiles and as much sympathy as he could get. Now, Tatsuya saw him bite the inside of his cheek after the year they'd had. It shouldn't have surprised him, but he was still getting used to this new Jin. As gently as he could, Tatsuya squeezed Jin's finger until there was a ruby bead sitting over the wound. "And what's the date today?" Again in English. "May, ow! May 14th?" From the mess on the counter, Jin grabbed his phone to check. Tatsuya picked up the round meter and checked its test strip. "Yeah, May 14th. How's the weather today?" He touched the bead of blood to the test strip. "Oh, fucked if I know. I haven't been outside since the ass crack of dawn." The mixed Japanese and English invective rolled off Tatsuya like water. He'd faced worse things in his life than an anxious Akanishi Jin. Unable to stop his hand shaking, Jin grabbed another cigarette. "Set off the fire alarms if you're not careful," was all Tatsuya said. It was all he usually needed to say, but this time, Jin paid no attention whatsoever. His eyes were on the mirror, most probably watching his thoughts play out on a psychological screen. The smoke distorted Tatsuya's view of his face. "Jin, what happened?"
"Nothing." "Oh, shit."
Jin inhaled another lungful of smoke, but said nothing more. Tatsuya wondered why he bothered.
No, he knew why.
It didn't make one whit of difference. The changes of the last 8 months had wrought on Akanishi Jin. A softness around the jaw, where he'd gained a little weight. The dark pillars under his eyes that no longer blazed quite so openly. He was still the most striking person Tatsuya had ever seen. There would never be anything calm or mundane in Jin's life. The side of himself that craved solitude and space could understand Kame's reasons for leaving the scorching sun to its fiery, magnificent demise. Most of them still believed Kame was an idiot. If Jin had ever looked at him with those molten brown eyes, blistering with heat. No, Tatsuya would never have given him up. But that was an easy thing to say. It was not a choice he would ever be asked to make. In his hand, the glucose meter beeped twice. In the mirror, he saw Jin's eyes close. This tiny machine now controlled his friend's life.
"What's it say?"
170 milligrams.
"Fuck."
"You haven't had lunch yet?" Tatsuya spoke softly.
"No, fuck."
Expelling the smoke from his lungs, Jin sagged forward, his forehead pressing against the mirror. Tatsuya watched his free hand clenching and unclenching the flannel shirt tied around his hips. Up and down like a fucking balloon. Tatsuya busied himself with a notebook tucked under a packet of sterilized cigarettes. Double-checking each reading, he recorded the numbers. It was no wonder that Jin had been so tense lately. His blood sugar levels were all over the place. Understandable, with the tour schedule, they were working around 15 to 18 hours a day. But heaven forbid anyone in upper management get wind of this. Johnny had made crystal clear the consequences if Jin's health failed him again.
"Jin?"
So many questions poured into one word.
A sigh. "Pass me the kit, won't you?"
Once upon a few years back, this had been the part that terrified Jin the most. There had been a strained note in his laughter as he'd taken the green zippered case into the bathroom.
Now?
He stripped the plastic from the disposable cigarette mechanically. Nothing beyond a look of vague resignation on his face. This had turned from a performance to a dance. Tatsuya watched him prep the needle and draw the insulin. Not a single wasted movement. A routine he'd practiced too many times.
"Hold this for me,"
he asked, holding out the upright cigarette. There were no betraying tremors in his voice. Tatsuya took it and said nothing. The chink of a belt buckle loosening, and Jin yanked open one of the thigh-high rips in his jeans.
"Thanks."
Jin didn't even flinch as the needle went in. Pain didn't scare him anymore, not half as much as the numbers on a small, battery-powered meter. Tatsuya almost smiled.
They said I have diabetes. Locked in a bathroom stall, secret cigarette between his fingers, Kame remembered the second time his life had quaked and folded in on itself. You have diabetes? Jun stared into his coffee cup. He'd wanted to come to Starbucks because it was packed with foreigners speaking English. 14-year-old Kazuya thought Jimmy Mackey had been feeding him wonder stories again. His best friend believed pretty much anything told him with a straight face. Are you sure?
The doctors all said so. Mom dragged me to three of them and they all said the same thing.
Kazuya had barely had enough time to pawn his shoes before Jin had dragged him out to the change room door. He thought it was just another one of Jin's new fascinations, something else he had to show someone or the world would implode. This time, maybe it would. A weird feeling started to rumble in Kazuya's gut. Have you told anyone? He tried to make it sound casual.
Just pee.
Good thing Jin found his espresso so interesting. Kazuya was gritting his teeth, always that damned Yamashita.
What are you gonna do?
I don't know. Jin moaned and dropped his dyed blonde head on the table. At least it moved his coffee out of the way.
If I tell, then Johnny's gonna put me on ice, and if I don't and they find out, they'll fire me.
You don't know that for sure. It was a weak comeback. Kazuya didn't believe it himself, but anything was better than Jin being upset. He hated seeing people upset. Jin more than anyone else.
Yes, I do. Not P or Toma. If I disappeared tomorrow, none of the suits would give a rat's. They probably wouldn't even notice.
They'd wonder why it suddenly got so quiet.
Fuck you. Jin whined it.
But Kazuya heard the muffled snort against the table and the tiny little smile in his voice. This was better. The Akanishi he knew could always find something to smile about.
Idiot. They'd probably fire you for being stupid before they kick you out for being sick. I'll pour this down your shirt, Kamanashi.
You could try. Jin didn't bother answering, just thumped him in the stomach. It was a shame Jin only had a passing interest in baseball. With blind aim like that, he could have been a deadly fielder. For a split second, Kazuya thought about suggesting a game of catch. It always made him feel better. But he already knew what Jin's answer would be. Catch was for children and dogs, in his best friend's opinion.
Seriously, Kazu, I don't know what I'm going to do.
Jin propped his chin on his forearms and stared out the glazed window. How much will it change things? Kazuya didn't really want to admit that all he knew about diabetes was A, it was kind of a serious disease that B, old people sometimes got.
I have to go back to the doctor tomorrow. They're gonna work out a diet for me and show me how to check my blood sugar and all that. I'm gonna have to stick myself with insulin about 100 times a day. It's gonna suck. Jin sighed.
In the weak afternoon sunlight, Kazuya watched as the crowds walking past the window reflected over Jin's face. His friend was pouting like a child, but behind the act, Kazuya knew he was trying to hide just how scared he was. Kazuya knew better than anyone how medical bills could stack up, and Jin had failed the last two semesters of school. If he lost his job here, well, there were 1,000 konbinis where he could man the till, and in a few years, the spirit Kazuya admired so much would be crushed like a steel can underfoot. He didn't even want to consider it. Can you imagine the look on Takeshime Sensei's face when I tell him, sorry, I can't do another 12 backflips with everyone else. I have to go shoot up in the bathroom. Now you're just exaggerating. You've got an illness, same as half the senpai of sore knees and bad backs. My knee still hurts right before a storm. So you put up with the pain and ice it afterwards. If I'm too busy and miss a meal or screw up a blood test, Kazu, I might end up in the hospital. Jin could never keep his feelings under wraps for long. They always bubbled to the surface, like the uncooked side of a pancake. Kazuya remembered what it felt like, having one failure of the body snatch away his reason for living. His knee had stolen baseball from him. Damned if he was going to let some stupid sugar disease steal away Jin's laughter.
So we just make sure you never miss a meal, or screw up your blood tests, right?
Kazuya asked, an odd sense of purpose filling his lungs, making his words stronger.
Jin glanced at his reflection in the window, an empty half-smile on his face.
Kazu, you're talking about me. I'm gonna bugger it up sometime and we both know it.
So, I'll help you. Turning in his chair, Kazuya looked his surprised friend full in the face. He'd made the decision on a whim, but nothing would sway his determination now.
Why?
Jin gaped at him like a baked head of tuna. Was it really that hard to believe?
Because you're my best friend.
Kazuya laid his hand over Jin's bald fist, now slowly relaxing. In the winter cold, his friend's hand was scalding hot, like a sunrise.
That's what Jin had been to him all those years ago. The morning star, someone who blazed with heat and life, someone who didn't mind little Kazuya crawling close to warm his hands and gaze in wonder at the flames. If he'd known then as a naive 14-year-old how hot that fire would burn and how bitter its ashes would taste in his mouth, would he still have made the same promise?
Probably. Kame took another pull of his cigarette and tried half-heartedly to blow a smoke ring. He'd always been a sucker for a sad face.
So where's the problem, you can ask, if you keep your head up? But the road is long and you're falling asleep at the wheel. A girl going crazy about you and I'm not far behind. Can you care about your friends anymore? If you don't believe me, I don't believe in you. If you don't believe me, I don't believe in you. Makes it all feel better, does it? And makes you feel like heaven, does it? You loved it and you spent accordingly. You can't afford it now. You can't afford it now. You can't afford it now. You try and you fail and love it like a little dog and feed it on the scraps you find and kiss it while you're still asleep. You buy now and pay later. You buy now and pay. A girl going crazy about you and I'm not far behind.